Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
7:03 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. What do you make of Colts owner Carly Ursay Gordon's presence on the Colts sideline? Is she receiving more hate, in your opinion, Jeremy, than someone like Brady or Jerry Jones for doing the same thing? Although we have not seen Brady on the sideline. We see Jerry Jones actually on the sidelines.
Yeah, I mean, it looks a little different. You see her wearing a headset over there. The one thing I'd say is, like, there should be no issue with her being on the sideline and wanting to know what's going on. As soon as she starts giving advice on what you should do in a game or what she believes should happen, even as an owner, that's where I would go, all right, come on, man. Take a back seat. You handle all the business side of things. You say, hey, we can sign this guy, we can't. But let me go find the people we should sign, the people we should draft. And when the game's going on, let me call the plays. Now, I haven't heard anything about her meddling yet, but it is kind of a weird look to see a woman on the sideline with a headset on that's not part of the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. You know, like we saw this at North Carolina with Bill Belichick's girlfriend. She wasn't wearing a headset, but I said it's the first time that I've ever seen somebody carrying a purse on the sideline. Mm-hmm. You know, like it just seemed weird. She was over there with her purse, nothing on as far as like football related, not a jersey, whatever. And then she's tapping Bill Belichick on the shoulder while he's coaching the game. And I'm going, what is this?
Yeah.
It's not quite like that. At least it
it's
hasn't appeared to
like
be.
That. Yeah.
So I don't have an issue. I think it's just getting blown out of proportion until it's not.
Some have suggested, Ed, that she's receiving this type of heat because her gender.
I mean, I'm not one to go that route very often, but it's very possible because she's the team owner. I've been to different teams, you know, training camps. I've seen owners on the sidelines.
Have you seen owners in position meetings?
I haven't sat through a position meeting.
Well, you don't normally hear that. Yeah. I think that's why, one of the things that she's getting criticized for is that, and that's something that typically owners don't do.
I mean, but maybe they should. I don't know her from a burnt biscuit, but I just think, like, you know, if I owned a team, I know what I would do that. I would drop in and, you know, people that work for me, and I'd sit in their meetings. I want to see what's being said. I want to see how their instruction ability is. I mean, if she's serious, man, maybe she's real serious about running the team better. I mean, you got like someone like Jerry Jones, who's made himself emperor of the Cowboys. He's the owner. He's the GM. He's everything. He fires his friend. He hires this guy. It's like, he makes all the decisions. Nobody seems to criticize him.
Yes, they do.
I mean, they criticize
him. Yes, they do.
But not like this.
I don't think it has anything to do with her gender. I think Jerry Jones gets criticized all the time, especially when he first started this. I think you're kind of used to it now, but maybe not as much. But when Jerry Jones first started on the sidelines, it was a huge criticism. Didn't he fire Jimmy Johnson?
Yeah.
I remember the criticism that he got. I don't think. Look, we just spent all this time talking about Tom Brady being in the coach's booth. I don't think the criticism has anything to do with her gender. I think the criticism has anything to do with being an owner doing things that we don't normally see owners do. You don't typically see that. Mm-hmm. If she wasn't the first, and other owners did it, and it was common, we're not talking about it. We're talking about
no owners ever sat in a position meeting.
I don't recall ever hearing about it.
I find it hard to believe nobody in the history of the NFL.
I mean, maybe. I can't find a story.
I mean, I bet Snyder did. He seemed like the type that would actually sit on things like that and not even contribute, just kind of make people uneasy.
But we're talking about all owners who've been criticized, though. Jerry Jones criticized.
You're moving the goalposts.
No, but these are owners that have been criticized.
Well, first, though, it was no one did it before. Now it's the owners that have been criticized.
No, I'm not moving the goalposts. I'm saying I'm saying the owners have been criticized before. It has nothing to do with her gender. You're bringing a bunch of owners who've been criticized before things.
Rob,
before.
You're saying no one's ever done this before.
I said I've never heard. No, I did not. I said I've never heard of an owner.
You
doing
asked me the question. Has anyone done? I said I don't know. I find it. I don't sit in position meetings.
But I'm not moving the goalposts. I've never heard of it before.
Change the question. I just don't know. I'm sure that somewhere in the NFL owners have done something like this.
Where?
I don't know.
I agree with one of you, but I'm not telling you who.
I don't think the criticism has anything to do with her gender. I think it is that she's doing things that we've never heard owners do before. We've never heard of it. Now, if you're saying we never heard it because these are men, then fine, that's a different conversation. But I've never heard of owners doing some of the things that she's done. I haven't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to.
I haven't either, because I've never heard the owners get so much attention, really, other than people like Jerry Jones and now Tom Brady, because he's Tom Brady.
Maybe you never heard it because of the gender.
That's what I said. if that's a topic, then fine. But we spent the first part of the week talking about Tom Brady being in the coach's box.
Like, correct me if I'm wrong, Jerry Jones would come down to the sideline before the game was over.
We criticized him for when he first started doing that. We did.
Yeah.
He receives lots of criticism for that. I mean, I think now it's to the point where, you know, Jerry, I think you used the word, he's the emperor now. So you kind of, but every time something goes wrong in Dallas, what do we say? Jerry Jones needs to hire a GM.
Mm-hmm.
He receives criticism. You find you're seeing an owner now do something that we haven't seen owners do. I think she happens to be a woman.
I still think there's a ton of sexism that's out there, and the fact that it is a woman on the sideline, people are like, what are you doing? You don't belong there. But I still think that goes on.
I think it does, too. Just the fact you said it looked weird kind of reinforces that to me, because it did.
Yeah. I'm like, what the hell is she? What's she calling? You know, like, again, if you're listening in, it's something like we've heard of, you know, owners talking to players and coaches afterwards are saying, I want to see this. It's your team.
Right.
You're free to do that. But when it comes to the X's and O's on the field, and I also feel like when it comes to putting the personnel out there, unless it's a financial decision, you should have a GM that's handling that and someone else.
You said she had a headset on.
Yeah.
Give me an owner that's had a headset on.
Yeah.
Exactly. She's doing things that we've never seen before. In the NFL.
Yes, I think I've seen Al Davis, the senior, with a headset years ago.
Let me see if I can't
But Google. He'd be another one of these guys.
That gets criticism.
Yeah.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. On this Thursday morning, Baltimore Ravens getting ready for Monday Night Football against the Detroit Lions. One of the big tests that they have that we circled the schedule for the beginning of the season. Shovels at 7:30, but on the other side, the NCAA nixes the spring transfer portal, opting for one off-season window. Your thoughts, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know why it's not outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. So this transfer portal situation has changed in the NCAA. I don't know if we've ever talked about it. We probably have, I'm sure. Jeremy, how do you feel about the transfer portal, generally speaking, without all the changes, just as a philosophy?
I guess what's fair is fair, but we've created this AAU-type atmosphere where you go somewhere, you're unhappy, so you go somewhere else. I love the idea of guys picking up a fifth-year senior option and getting to go play for someone else and maybe making a run at something. But I do feel like we're seeing too much of this college football free agency, if you will. I was reading, which team was it? There was a team that lost 40 players in the transfer portal.
How many?
40. It's the most that anyone's ever lost in the transfer
portal. I heard you wrong. 40.
No, 40. And they had to they just played to, I can't remember who it is. It's a smaller school. Might have been like Coastal Carolina or somebody like that. But they lost 40 players. And again, like, that's a lot to sit there and rebuild and understand what's coming in. And the thing that really got me that I didn't like about this, Rob, was the bowl games and seeing people opt out of playing in the bowl game. Yep. Because they're entering the transfer portal because they're unhappy.
Well, now the transfer portal no longer has two windows. It has one, and it goes from January the 2nd to January the 11th, and that's it.
I mean, I'm kind of in favor of it.
Me too.
I just think the transfer portal has made college football kind of chaotic. I think it makes it much more difficult for coaches to build a roster and know who the hell they have playing for them. At least this, you have some kind of a little more organization, and you could plan a little bit. I just thought it was out of control before.
Some coaches are complaining that now you give them less time to look at who they're going to bring in, especially if you're in bowl season. Coaches, I think you're looking at this the wrong way. It also gives the kids less time to leave you. See, everybody's talking about the transfer portal and they're making a bad thing for the kids. The kids. Coaches are getting – what did Deion Sanders say when he took the Colorado job? And I'm only using Deion because this was public. If he said it publicly because the cameras were on him, other coaches said too.
Hey, Rob brought him up, not me.
He said, some of you need to enter the transfer portal because you're not going to be around here very long. Mm-hmm. Remember
that's
that?
That's true. That's right.
You think Deion Sanders is the only coach saying that?
Yeah.
Nope.
So while we're making the kids the bad guys all the time in this, keep in mind a lot of coaches look at their roster and say, you know what? I made a mistake with these 6-7 kids. Let me get rid of them and look at the transfer portal. So the coaches have now selfishly said, you're taking my time away to revamp my roster to go get free agents. Because that's what they are, free agents. So I think I think it's a good thing because now you have to be concise. You have to be very specific in knowing that you have a home if you want to enter the transfer portal. I think it's kind of a solution to the problems that we've been talking about with the portal.
Yeah, we've seen some kids screw it up. I mean, if you're talking about Nico leaving Tennessee and going to UCLA, and that dog's not hunting. UCLA just fired their coach already. We're not even in the fourth week of the college football season. They said, hell no. But again, like when you have coaches that can get up and leave a program and go somewhere else, even if they had recruiting violations and all this other stuff, the kids are left there to deal with it and possibly not go into a bowl game before. Now things have changed. And then coaches could just leave and go somewhere else and start anew. Whether it was, you know, Kelvin Sampson going to the NFL or the NBA in college, or going and taking over Indiana when Oklahoma was in trouble, or vice versa, and all those things. We've seen so much of Pete Carroll leaving so he doesn't get in trouble for cheating at USC.
Oh, my gosh. Why does Pete Carroll get a drive-by in this? Why?
Because he cheated.
That was 20 years ago.
So it doesn't count?
But there's
so many limitations.
There's so many examples after that. Why are you? You're not going to be the scene from life.
It's all right.
80 years old.
I got my toe stuck in a bottle.
You remember that time Pete Carroll cheated and gave money to Reggie Bush?
Rob's going
to
be up there going, you know who's not going to Rob's boom boom room? You. Pete Carroll will be there.
You gotta bring the guy up all the time. Then you got. I'm surprised you didn't say, "Yay, I'm going to the NFL!" Yay.
I'm just thinking of the scene where they're going around. I'm that baby's pappy. And they get to me and says, "Yes, I am that baby's father."
Pete Carroll, it did anything to you, man?
Some bitch.
Never.
What? All right, Jeremy.
I hate Pete Carroll.
Why? You got to explain this to me. Why?
I hate the gum chewing. It's Pom Pom Pete. Every time. Shut up, Pete.
Okay, remember the time? Ass. Remember the time he was a bad coach?
Yeah, New England with the Jets. I mean, yeah, I do.
We won like 8-8, 10-6.
He's still a bad coach. He sucked there. He won in Seattle. He sucked in those other two spots. Like, if you bring up Bill Belichick and say he's the greatest NFL coach of all time, people listen to you. But then you go, well, what happened in Cleveland?
Yeah, I was about to say. What happened all of those times when he didn't have Tom Brady? He has a losing record. What is it, like 71-91?
Yeah, we did have Tom Brady for a long time.
71-91.
The Cleveland year shouldn't count for anyone.
Why not?
Don't count him for Baker Mayfield. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
It was there.
Yeah.
But he's part of the problem.
I mean, what's he chewing on? Like 18 pieces of Bazooka Joe?
I think
over
we're
there?
Talking about the transfer portal.
Okay, Ellen.
He's not exactly Jason Garrett. All
okay,
right?
No, but he's worse than Jason Garrett.
No, he wins.
Jason Garrett.
He's got championships.
Ass. They're down 40-10, and they just had like a touchdown. All right, guys.
You ever get the so feeling that Jason Garrett's clapping is nervousness?
Yeah.
That awkwardness. I got nothing else to do with my hands, so let me. Pete Carroll's genuine. Like it or not, that's a genuine rah-rah right. cheering his team on. I think Jason Garrett is that nervous clap.
Something.
You know, look, I'll be fair about it. Pete Carroll is a genuine cheater.
Do you remember Al Gore would clap? It reminds me of that. Yeah. Al Gore would go like this, like a child. Patty cake.
This is so funny. But you can't tell it. Like, every time someone made a play and Pete Carroll's on the sideline, he's got this big-ass wad of gum and he's just losing his mind, man. Screw that guy. And I know Vinny likes him, too. You like him. Because why don't you like Pete? I hate his ass.
Pete's my kind of guy.
Some bitch. Man.
And no reason. You never met him.
Nope.
I met him.
Did you?
Yeah.
How nice was he to you?
He was awesome.
Liar.
He was awesome. He said, Rob, good to meet you. We're the cheerleaders. Come on, Rob.
I paid a kid at USC named Long.
Yeah.
40 grand under a baseball cap. Hey, sign him with us.
40
what?
Grand.
What? I Whoa, did what?
40 grand.
It's in cash. I'm not saying that's all you get.
His name was Long. It'd be more than 40.
That's an appetizer. It's just, Rob, it's just.
Wet your whistle.
Wetting your whistle.
Oh, boy.
And Pete Carroll in the meetings. Oh, did he say he's signing with us? Doing his punching in the air. It's like, settle down. You're 80. How old is he? He's way older than he looks.
And he has more energy than you.
Oh, there's no question. He looks great for his age. I look awful for my age. Maybe that's why I'm mad.
That's probably his.
Pete Carroll is he's 74.
Yeah. He looks good.
He'll be 75 next. Oh, he just turned 74. He's going to be 2 days ago, three days ago.
Happy birthday, Pete Carroll.
Yeah, here you go.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Pete Carroll going, you sure we're supposed to give these players checks? Because that's a paper trail, and we don't want that. No, Pete,
checks.
It's okay. It's okay in the NFL. We give them checks. It's okay.
Clubhouse connection at 8:30, but on the other side, Ed Norris, we're giving out shovels.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm going to give this one out to just the dumbest criminal, I think, in the United States in the last week.
Just a week?
Yeah.
So there were dumb ones.
Well, it's actually not that dumb. It's kind of clever, but it's unique. I'll give him that. It's unique.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS 1057 The Fan. Shovels next. Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS 1057 The Fan. Ed Norris, who gets your shovel?
I'm giving it to the Paddlefish Restaurant in Disney.
Say what?
This story is very fishy, pun intended. I don't understand what's going on here. It just, you know what, things just don't sound right. Now, Paddlefish is it's a replica steamboat on a little Disney Springs in the shopping complex down Lake Buena Vista. A guy swims up in a scuba suit, boards the restaurant, boat, whatever, replica paddle boat, spray paints the cameras, tells the two employees to get in the corner. He ties it up, tells them, close their eyes.
Ooh.
Doesn't, like, blindfold them or anything. Close your eyes.
We're on the honor system here.
It's on the honor system. He's unarmed. Close your eyes. Don't open. Don't peek. It's a surprise. But they estimate up to $20,000 in the night's receipts. Jumps back in the water and swims away.
Oh, the scuba guy, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've read about this. It's great.
Isn't it great?
they couldn't find him.
There's something wrong here.
This is the perfect getaway. What do you mean we don't have any boats to go get him?
This just smacks to me of, like, I don't know, it's, inside job. It's like
Stinks.
$20,000 a night. You know how much I did? That's $7.5 million a year in receipts.
At this Disney restaurant?
It's not quite in Disney. It's, yeah.
Well, it's $60 for a cheeseburger.
It's not. I just pulled the menu up.
They're just popular?
It's just.
Okay.
Here we go. Beef stew, $19. Let's say dollars.
Dollars.
Jeez, a whiz.
Hey, yeah.
Beef stew?
You want some beef stew, you better have dollars.
Shrimp pasta, $25. It sounds like a normal restaurant. It's like, I just find the whole thing. But when I read it, I'm like, I don't know about this. And there's cameras everywhere. If it isn't anywhere near Disney, anywhere on the planet now, there's cameras everywhere. Ring cameras, police cameras, traffic cameras. How'd this guy evade detection? Like, do you see a man driving the scuba suit? No one, like, got alerted? When he got out and took off his wetsuit, nobody saw this on camera anywhere? The whole story sucks.
Jamie Carr, who gets your shovel?
Yeah, it's going to go to an air traffic controller for Spirit Airlines. I wish I would have sent this to Joe sooner because there's sound of it.
That's what I was trying to listen to before.
Yeah, so the sound of... So basically what happened was there's audio of an air traffic controller yelling at a Spirit Airlines pilot to get off the iPad as it flew too close to Air Force One. And again, well, so maybe it's the pilot I should be giving the shovel to, not the air traffic controller. But you guys get the point. The president was on board of Air Force One. They were flying. And it goes, Sprint 1300, turn 20 degrees right. Pay attention, Spirit. I'm saying Sprint. I can't read. Spirit 1300, turn 20 degrees right. Spirit 1300, turn 20 degrees right now. Spirit. He just keeps yelling at the guy. Get off your damn iPad and turn. Pay attention. Like, if you have a job like that, if anybody's ever watched the movie Pushing Tin or with Billy Bob Thornton or anything, like, that job is, I would be stressed the hell out the entire time.
Traffic control?
Yes. Yeah. And then you're yelling at a pilot who's not paying attention, and he might, because we already had, that one flight accident, if that's what you call it, in the air, where the, how long ago was that?
About a year ago.
The ice skating team? There was another one. There was that one, and there was another one, right? Yeah.
He had one in at Dulles?
I think so.
I think it was at Dulles.
We had a couple of near misses this year, too, in a row, like just recently.
It's just unbelievable, man.
They kind of didn't take that job.
I'm going Jeremy Kahn on this one. I'm giving my shovel to Baltimore area drivers. I noticed it. Chicago is an aggressive city. Do you all agree to that?
Yeah.
Yep. New York is an aggressive city. You agree to that?
Of course.
Philly is a very aggressive city. You agree to that?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it all of those cities, when you get the okay to walk across the street sign, that the vehicles making the right turn wait for pedestrians to cross the street? But yet in Baltimore, they'll run you over to make that right turn. When I have the right of way, I cross the street before you make your right turn. And I noticed it when I was in Chicago. Because I'm like, this is an ultra-aggressive city. It's supposed to be a high-crime area.
Yeah.
Am I right? So why is it in a city like that? Because I kind of hesitated, and the dude looked at me. And this was a young dude. He had like maybe late 20s, early 30s. He just looked at me and waved his right hand, waved, go ahead. And I was the only one. He could have easily, it wasn't like there's a long line of people. I was the only walker. And I've noticed in every city that when pedestrians have the right of way to cross the street, the vehicles making a right turn allow you to walk across the street. In Baltimore, no. They will run you over and use you as a speed bump and keep it going.
Dude,
our drivers are the worst, man.
Had a guy slow down on 695 to about 20 miles an hour because he wanted to get over to the exit that was right there, and he realized it too late.
Yeah.
I mean, he stopped. You're basically almost stopped on 695, and you're going, it's a you problem. It's a you problem. Go up to the next exit and turn around, jackass. You missed your spot.
Yeah. Let's go out to Eli, who is in Parkville, wants to give a shovel. What's up, Eli?
Good morning, fellas. I want to give a shovel to all the fantasy experts out there that can't run 40 or 5.
They can't do what? I didn't hear the last part.
I said they can't run a 40 and 5 in their prime, and I'm just sick of them. They sit there and they talk about, oh, this guy sucks, this guy. Like, bro, you get out there, you try doing it. You don't understand how hard it is to
be a professional athlete. That does bother me too, actually. Facts.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't bother me because, look, if you're talking about the fantasy guys, all they're doing is taking information and telling you what they think about it.
No, he said he criticized them.
I think what it bothers me too, where when I see people criticize athletes, I mean, just like, oh, this guy just sucks. He's terrible. It's like,
yes.
And like,
but I think the we worst all guy do that.
No, I don't do that.
You've never said a guy sucked or he's
stuck? Yeah, of course. In a game, sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, they get, They never have a good word to say about athletes. And I think you know what kind of people I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, and it's like you never played anything. You think you know, you've never even been in a sport. It's like, I really get offended by that. And I agree with the caller. Because it really bothers me with combats like boxers and stuff and UFC and MMA fighters. Mm-hmm. And if I say, have you ever even attempted that? Do you know it's like to step into a ring and everyone gets out except you and the guy's going to punch you in the face?
Yeah.
And you get the balls to talk about this guy?
Put Joe Blow in the ring and find out in 25 seconds how tired he is after just that. It's just, it's weird.
Well, I do those three minute rounds at Exile.
Mm-hmm.
3 minute rounds on a heavy bag, sit for a minute. I do just four rounds of those.
It's exhausting.
And I want to tap out. And I don't have an opponent.
I do three.
There's no opponent. There's no one to hit me back.
Yeah.
I'm just hitting a heavy bag. Like, man, screw this.
I do three spurts of forearm exercises daily. So
if I start looking still
like
doing that?
Yeah, if I look like Popeye, let me know.
You kind of do. You know what's funny? He can't open his car door with his left hand. His right hand, he can crush it. Just rip it off.
Well, I've been home a lot. What do you want me to do? Anyway.
Wow. Clubhouse connection at 8:30. Why? Why you keep picking on the man?
Oh, I didn't do anything. That wasn't me. That was him. That was Ed. I didn't pick on anybody.
I'm used to you.
No, it wasn't me. I'm freaking Shaggy over here.
Picking on the elderly. But
it wasn't me.
All right. Would you still call the Ravens offense a work in progress? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't look at it as slow, man. I feel like I'm doing a lot of things to, you know, make big plays. You know, you look at the first game, you know, just about every run was sprung off a block, you know, behind me. So, you know, in my eyes, I'm trying to win games, trying to help this team out. I feel like I'm doing a good job with things that are asked of me. I know the good things will come, patience. You know, I'm not worried too much about the outside noise, about fantasy football. That stuff doesn't matter to me. I'm worried about this team.
Would you consider, Ed, the Ravens offense still a work in progress?
Yeah, I would.
Only because they were, you know, they've been good both weeks in different ways. First week, they were incredible running the football. Last week, they couldn't run the football at all, but they made up for it with the passing game and a lot of help from the defense and special teams. But I still think there's some work to do. They're getting too much pressure. People, when they're blitzed, they're getting a tremendous amount of pressure. So, there's some things to tighten up there for sure.
You think so, Jeremy?
Yeah, look, I mean, you're sitting here talking about all the different things that Mark Andrews has done, and I feel like there's certain things that you want to see the yardage, you want to see the touchdowns, you want to see all those things, but I guess it's harder to complain when you're winning, and I understand they're 1-1, but they scored 40 points in that game that they lost.
Right.
Yeah. And so, again, I just feel like I still consider this, a good season, even though we're sitting here talking about a work in progress or it's going to have the ability to be it. Because when we started looking at the schedule yesterday, I don't know who brought it up here, and I started looking at their schedule. Rob, I think it was you. Mm-hmm. I looked at their schedule and went, oh, man, they got like eight terrible teams that they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like eight.
Yeah.
I mean, the teams that are going to finish in last, so they're going to have one of the easier schedules. That's
they
why
had one of the tougher ones in the league coming in.
Yeah. But it's kind of weird looking at it now. Yeah. It's not that. Mm-hmm. So, again, we shall see. And then you also get a benefit, too. You haven't faced Cincy yet. Now you're going to get two games with them without Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. But, Jeremy, wouldn't you agree that all offenses are a work in progress? I mean, because every week that NFL team, that defensive coordinator is going to try to do something to stop you. if you're not a work in progress, that means you get stagnant and teams catch up with you.
Aren't you always trying to get better?
Yeah.
So that's why, like, I would agree with that. And again, just to go back to what I know, like, if we're going back and looking at, like, Peyton Manning's offense, right? Mm-hmm. And it's one of the more forward-thinking quarterbacks we've had running his own offense. Wasn't he still tweaking things and trying to get better?
Right.
Did the Omaha thing start late in his career? Yeah. Did some of the other things start, like the muddle huddle and the sugar huddle that teams started using? Guys are inventing things, and you're kind of tweaking it. Remember when the Wildcat took off and teams were using it? It's like, how do we stop it? Well, it seems like it's fairly easy. You stuff the box, you know, like, or run blitz them. Now with the read options and the RPOs and all the things that come into it, yeah, you're still getting all that stuff down. And the weird thing is, you probably feel like you have a grip on it, and then you lose a couple players to free agency.
Yep.
And now you're bringing in young guys, and now you're trying to work them into it. So, yes, it always has to be a work in progress. You can think that you have a pretty good product, but I don't know when it's a finished product.
Rams' greatest show on turf. Throughout the course of the season, Mike Martz would always put different little gadgets in to keep the opposing defense off balance. Work in progress. They didn't just always hand the ball off to Marshall Faulk. Mm-hmm. They didn't always just throw the ball downfield to Torrey Holt. They didn't just throw underneath to Isaac Key. They didn't do that every week. They did different things to keep the opposing defense off balance, and that's what made it so effective. Mike Martz didn't say, I have more talent than everybody else. Go out there, guys. He used it and to his advantage, having the best pieces of everybody else.
Joe made a great point. Pete Carroll would have said that. The other thing to bring up with this, too, was it James Holzhauer? Was that the guy's name on Jeopardy? That the changes I'm seeing in offense now is that there's this aggressive nature that's going on that's forcing your hand, where teams are going for it on downs you would never expect them to go for it, whether that's in their own territory or the distance. Like, it's fourth and eight and you're going for it. You're really not going to punt this ball. You're not going to, you know, kick a field goal or at least attempt one. You're seeing teams be so ultra aggressive that it's forcing people to do things out of their element. I.e., when on Jeopardy, when he would do like get a daily double, he would bet everything. I'm betting all of it. So now if I get this question right, now you're chasing me with this much money? How do you get? And it makes people do crazy things. And I almost feel like that's what Kansas City was doing, where people are like, oh, we can't leave too much time on there. We got to do this, and we got to do this just right, and we can't let them. And ultimately, number 15 comes out, and he's done it every single year. And
I'm surprised you're right about that, but I'm surprised you're just using Kansas City. I remember Indianapolis, the game plan was to keep Peyton Manning off the field. Mm-hmm. Peyton Manning one season had three games where his team had less than 25 minutes of offense, and they won those games. At one game against Belichick, if I'm not mistaken, Jeremy, they may have been on the field 20 minutes, and they beat the Patriots.
One of the more impressive wins that I think they had was a game where they didn't score any touchdown, and that was right here in Baltimore.
Right here, back.
Because if you go back, go look at his third down conversion rate, look at some of the throws he made. That throw to Dallas Clark, still one of the best throws I've ever seen. I don't know how he fit it in that window or even saw that. But then you go back to that game, and you're like,
that's also trust.
Yeah.
Great throw, but you don't throw that ball if you don't trust the receiver.
I mean, that was a window like this big. That's part of this game is like you're forcing people to do things that are out of their element. And that's what you want to get to. Like, again, when you make a team one-dimensional, do I want to come out and throw it 50 times? Am I capable of doing that?
And I think the Ravens, it keep the defenses off balance and on their heels as good as, if not better than anybody else in the National Football League.
I agree, and they don't even have to try all that hard now because of the talent. You talk about the mesh point between Lamar and Derrick Henry. Now you've got a receiving core that you can count on. Zay looks like he's an all-pro this year. D-Hop comes in for two plays, and both of them are touchdowns. It's just remarkable, the collection of talent they have. So, yeah, I think they do keep people on their toes. Because who are you going to worry about? Who do you focus on? I mean, you can pick one.
Yeah.
Pick one.
Good luck. It's just so awesome. And you got to still give credit to the offensive coordinator, Todd Monken, because what he does, the play calling, the play selection, the timing of the plays, I think that's one of his biggest talents, Jeremy, knowing when to call those plays. He sets you up. And again, it's playing chess.
Yeah,
he'll do one thing, and he'll do in every situation, he'll do that one thing. And then he gets to that situation again, and he'll make you think he's doing that, he'll do something else. It's almost like the pitcher. My fastball, my curveball, and my slider all come out the same way. So you don't know, is he throwing a slider? His arm slot changed. No, my arm slot is the same for each pitch. That's a Todd Monken. He shows you the same look, but does something completely different than he did the first three times. And I think that type of off balance play calling is effective as well with that talent.
Yeah, and again, like I go back to giving people the same look but running something different out of it. It's, you know, I've compared route running and pitching. You know, when you're throwing out of the same arm slot, right? So you're making this pitch look like it's this. And one of my favorite ones was Charlie Morton, where they had the same arm slot and four different pitches coming out of that arm slot that look exactly the same until. Mm-hmm. You get a fraction of a second and go, oh, that's not a fastball. That's a slider. Yeah. And the same thing in route running when you're designing these plays is having guys run the same thing. Then you set it up to build off of it so it looks uniform.
Yeah.
And you can't guess which way it's going. And the great route runners can confuse these guys. And that's why you're seeing some of the guys that you're like, man, he's not overly athletic. He's not fast. How's he still in the league? You know, people keep asking, how the hell is Hunter Renfroe still in this league? Because he's an amazing route runner.
The last time I came downfield and I broke down, ran an out route. This time I'm coming downfield, I'm giving the same foot motion. Now as you get ready to cover the out route, I'm going by you. I gave you the same look, but I'm doing something different.
Yeah, I mean, the easy one to see, guys, is when you run the out, and then you run the out and up, and you make the guy bite because he thinks he knows what's coming.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. On the Fan Clubhouse Connection at 8:30. Rudy Gay will join us in the 9 o'clock hour. But on the other side, Isaiah likely announces he'll return to the field very soon. But does that mean against Detroit or Kansas City? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.